Okay, we'll get started again on the second session here. Okay, we're in the second part of Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. Now, I need to check back on the Hebrew translation with the kernel, but in the English it says after that, meaning that after the giants came, then the sons of God came to the daughters of men. But actually, the fallen angels were having sex with the woman before the Nephilim came, because the Nephilim are the result of this, of course.
Sure.
Yeah.
They are the children.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, but if you read the English translation, that's not what it says. But the Hebrew is different. The kernel, he explained in the Hebrew, I have to go back and check it, but there's some kind of a preposition, which, and the Hebrew jumps around, the Hebrew language. But we have to understand, obviously, the second part of the verse happens before the first part. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. See, it says, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came and the daughters of men. See, the English doesn't make sense. Yeah, but don't be surprised by an English translation that doesn't make sense, because it happens all the time. You have to remember, a lot of the translators, they might be scholars in the language, but they don't understand the theology. Yeah, and every language, it's not just the Hebrew or the Greek or even English or whatever. You know, every language has its, we say, idiosyncrasies. Well, it means it's one word can mean many, many different things, of course. And that's why understanding theology is also very important. So for this verse to make sense, the first sentence in chapter 6, verse 4, has to happen after the second sentence. Yeah, because obviously, you know, people don't have babies. You know, the baby is not born and then you have sex afterwards. You have sex first and the baby comes after. Okay, so after that, when the sons of God came into daughters of men. So here we have the sons of God, that's the fallen angels. And now they're choosing the woman. Remember, they could choose whoever they wanted. Okay, and then the offspring were born to them. And this would be written as the mighty men of old or something like that. What do you have there? Now, as part of our study, we probably won't get time tonight, but as part of the study, we need to look at Greek mythology and other mythology, because it talks about these mighty men. But just to tell you what's happening, you know, some of the more famous of these Nephilim was like Hercules, for example, and then you have Bacchus. Yeah, see, apparently Hercules was the son of Zeus. He's the, you know, one of the famous Greek gods. Zeus and Jupiter are the same god, but Zeus is Greek and Jupiter is Roman. Because we'll get onto this later, but just to give a quick example, Zeus, he had sex, apparently, with a woman called Alcmene. Okay, and they had a son called Hercules. And he's one of the more famous ones. Now, this is just in Greek mythology, and a lot of the Greek mythology we learn from today is from the writings of the poet. He was called Homer. So we really don't know if this person called Hercules existed, but you know, he's in the Greek mythology. Could have just been made up. It could be a made up name. And of course there's no real god called Zeus, but maybe one of Satan's demons was called Zeus. You know, we don't. Yeah, but anyway, you really don't put your faith in Greek mythology to get the names and the events, but they give a good example of what was happening in the angelic infiltration. And this mythology, like the Greek and the Roman mythology, is really no different from mythologies that you have all around the world in many different cultures. Okay, but later on, you know, we can look at a few more examples. But just to let you know that when we see this in Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, talking about these mighty men of old, these are actually mentioned not just in the Bible. So we do have other accounts of these people. When the angels were having sex with the woman, this was against the rules. And just to repeat a little bit about what we mentioned before the break, you know, God always tells us about the rules. We're never deceived about what the consequences of our wrongdoing will be. And this appears to us in these scriptures in what we call imperative moods. So all the way through the scripture, you have things told as a command. You will do this, you will not do that, for example. And what this is doing is God is talking to your volition. Remember, it's your volition which decides the outcome of the angelic appeal trial. And actually, as a Christian, you still have to use your volition to decide, do I really want to know what God's rules are? Like when we're teaching a children's camp, we can say to the children, well, God wants you to do good and he doesn't want you to do bad. But that's a very sort of a basic outline of God's thinking. You can't live the Christian life thinking, well, I'll just do good and I won't do bad, because you don't know what good and bad really is. But again, if you study the scriptures, it becomes very clear what is right and what's wrong. And as you learn scripture, you also learn how to be humble to obey those commands as well. And as we learn about God's love for us and the grace that He's given towards us, we also gain the correct motivation to obey God. About God's love for us and the grace that He's given towards us, that develops the correct motivation in order for us to obey Him. I see a lot of Christians say, well, I love God and I know God loves me, but they don't take the time to learn the scriptures about what they should be doing. And then you just get some people, and even Christians, not just the unbelievers, but they can just be naturally rebellious because that rebellion is coming from the sin nature. Now, everybody's sin nature is different, but we all have a natural tendency to sin, natural tendency to rebel. Now, what your weakness is in your sin might be somebody else's strength. So that, you might have a weakness to gossip, for example, and somebody else doesn't. But the person that doesn't gossip, he can see your weakness when you can't. And for a Christian, when you read about a command in Scripture and that doesn't agree with your sin nature, you tend to overlook that, I think. And that's why it takes humility to be able to look at Scripture and to say, this is applying to me. Okay, but again, these rules of Scripture, they're speaking to your volition. What are you going to do about this? And for the fallen angels, before the angelic infiltration, it was the same. They were given the rules. They were told what they can and can't do. They were told the consequences too. But they didn't listen. We read in Jude chapter 1, and then in Peter, 2 Peter chapter 2, how the fallen angels end up in Tartarus. And 2 Peter, okay, it tells us how these fallen angels are now in Tartarus. And they would have known about that before they committed their crime. Okay, so we'll do the first verse now, Jude chapter 1, verse 6 to 7. So I'll go over to that. Jude 1, 6, 7. Okay, the angels who did not keep their own domain, but they abandoned their proper place. Yeah, see, they have a proper place and a position and even a way to behave. It can be looked at as a way to behave. Yeah, their proper place is away from the human woman, not having relations with them. Okay. And we're going to see this later. Remember when Jesus Christ is upon the earth and He's casting out demons from people that have been demon possessed. See, the angels, again, that they're not in their proper place. Now they're indwelling humans. That's not their proper place. It says that they did not stay in their proper place. See, God has said, this is your place and this is proper for you. This is where you have to stay. And actually, in the Greek, you have the word topos, which actually, it just means a place. Literally, it's a place, but we're talking about their proper place. Okay, and then it goes on to say that He has kept them in eternal chains of darkness. For an angel who has this body of light, normally you cannot catch an angel, obviously, but their light is turned off with these chains of darkness. From the scientific principle, I guess, is that darkness is the absence of light. So you take away light and there's darkness. Okay, and we don't know the exact details of physics behind this, but the angelic bodies have been immobilized, means they cannot move anymore. These angels, they have this soul and everything is operating in the soul, but obviously that they cannot move, they cannot do anything. And they've been like that now for at least 5,000 years. That's a torture in itself. There's probably no physical pain as such, but just the fact that you're just stuck and all you can do is think about the wrongdoing that you've done. And there's a lot of bitterness. These angels, these fallen angels must be very, very bitter. That's a torture in itself. Now, they're in Tartarus. We know from another passage that the place that they're in is called Tartarus, but that's not an eternal place for them. They won't be there forever. Okay, now this comes out in Revelations chapter 20:10. That's where we see Satan thrown into the lake of fire. But obviously, you know, the fallen angels will also go with him. Yeah. And also Matthew 25:41. It tells us that the lake of fire has been prepared for Satan and his minions. They usually translate minions, but this is his fallen angels. Now, it actually says here the judgment of the great day, but remember the judgment has already taken place. God has already sentenced them to the lake of fire. All that is left to be carried out is the appeal trial. When it's finished, is God is going to declare whether the appeal of Satan is upheld or whether it's rejected. That's what the appeal trial does. It makes the decision, do we stick to the original sentence or is the defendant free to go? And we know from the prophecy of Scripture that Satan will lose his appeal trial. That's why he's thrown into the lake of fire. So there's actually no more judgment for Satan. It's not like he has to be judged again. See, we read about Satan being thrown into the lake of fire in Revelation 20:10, but then the great white throne judgment, which is for the unbeliever, takes place after that. So after Satan is thrown in the lake of fire, then you have the great white throne judgment for the unbelievers. Yeah, so they're two separate events. And the angels that are in Tartarus, the fallen angels, bodies have been frozen somehow, but they will have to go into some kind of an eternal body which has been designed for the lake of fire, just like for the unbelievers. Yeah, see, I don't know for sure, but it seems like if you have a body of light like the angels do, that would not experience pain. Imagine even now, the angels, whether they're elect or fallen angels, they can sort of fly through the sun and they wouldn't get burnt. So they would have to have their bodies changed into some kind of a, what we call like an eternal lake of fire body, I guess. And the interesting thing about the eternal body for them is it cannot burn up because it's eternal. And we usually think that when most things experience heat for a long time, it burns and then it dies. But that's not the case for these people in the lake of fire. Okay, so you know, this gives us more reason to want to evangelize the unbeliever, really, knowing that that's their fate. Isn't that good enough reason to motivate us to evangelize, right? Well, no, but it motivates us as well because we love these people. You know, we should have learned to love the unbeliever, and we know that this is the outcome they face, right? The Bible says they're there forever, so obviously the body doesn't burn. Even the unbelievers get an eternal body, but they have to spend eternity in that eternal body, and they're suffering forever. The Apostle Paul felt so sorry thinking about the future of many of the Jewish people, all of the Jewish people, that he said, if it was possible that I could take their place in the lake of fire, I would go in the lake of fire and they could be saved. And now, obviously, that's impossible because everybody needs to express their free will to believe in Jesus for salvation. But the fact that the Holy Spirit had Paul write that down means that Paul, he had this attitude. He wasn't just saying things. He wasn't making things up. That was his attitude, and that's how much he loved the Jewish people. And that's the ultimate in what we call impersonal love for the unbeliever. So it's a special kind of a love, just like God loves the unbeliever. And we can see Paul had that to a very high level. Okay, just to finish off in that verse, now we're in Jude chapter 1, probably verse 7, where it says, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they in the same way as these indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh. Isn't that interesting that the writer here, Jude, he's drawing a comparison between the fallen angels having sex with a woman and men having sex with each other. They're going after the strange things, the things that God has prohibited. Okay, now we're going to stop for a break. During the break, you can just have a quick look at that passage in Genesis 19, and then we'll come back in 5 minutes. Okay, so let's get started on the next session. Maybe you had some time to look at Genesis chapter 19, and we're looking at this passage because Jude shows us like an analogy, it's a comparison between the activities of the fallen angels and of the homosexuals in the time of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now you have to realize though that the fallen angels, when they're having sex with the woman, they have a firm idea in their mind what they're trying to achieve. And that goal of theirs is to basically stop the line of humanity in order that the Savior, who was supposed to be from the line of Adam and Eve, cannot be born, cannot come into existence. But at that time of history, homosexuality would also have the same effect. If everybody became homosexual, again, you would have no offspring, and then you'd have the Savior wouldn't be born either. Now, when these homosexuals in the time of Sodom and Gomorrah having their relations, and we assume it's the woman as well, that are into lesbian relations, they're not thinking about destroying the line of the Messiah. That they're following their sin natures. See, you know, the reason that these gay people, like these gay men are with each other, is because of their lust and their sin nature. You know, homosexuality is very destructive, not just to God's plan, but also to society in general. But again, you know, these homosexuals at the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, they're not thinking in their mind, you know, we want to stop the Savior from being born and we want to destroy God's plan. They're just doing what their sin nature is telling them. But Satan, of course, he promotes this kind of activity in the devil's world. And that's where you can see the difference between sin and evil. Sin and evil, and the two are not the same. Now, the two can often be closely combined, but you have to remember they are two separate concepts. The source of sin, now, and in this case, we're talking about personal sin. Okay, so we're talking about the sins that people do and the angels do from a personal level. The source of all sin is from the volition. But the temptation to sin can come from the sin nature or it can come from an external source. Now, if it's from the internal source, and we're looking at the example of these gays in the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, some people have a tendency from the sin nature to become homosexuals. It's in the sin, just in the same way that some people have a tendency maybe to get angry easily or they get violent. They like to gossip. These are tendencies from the sin nature. So that's a temptation from the internal. And then you can have temptations from external, which could be somebody just inviting you, and let's have gay sex. Or, you know, in modern days, you might have gay, you know, people getting into pornography and stuff like that. And these outside temptations, this is now where you're getting involved with evil. It's not the sin, see, and it's not from the sin nature, but the outside circumstances tempting you to sin. You know, for hundreds and hundreds of years, I guess, you know, governments would have laws to say, homosexual sex or homosexual marriage is illegal. And they got these concepts from morality or even from the Bible. Okay, but in modern times, now we have governments and saying that homosexual marriage is okay. This is evil. It's encouraging sin. It's going against God's plan. And it's being promoted by Satan because this is his world. This is the devil's world. Now, again, Satan cannot make you sin, and even your sin nature cannot make you sin. But, you know, the sin nature provides temptations, and through his plans of evil, Satan will provide temptations as well. Now, just to see how evil these people were in the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, we have these two men, which were actually angels, had come into the town to try to get Lot, Abraham's nephew, to try to get Lot to come out of town to rescue him. So in the story of Genesis chapter 19, these two men, they look like men. So here's a good example of angels in human form. And they came into the town and then they visited Lot. Yeah, but they're actually angels, right? And they were there with a purpose. Their purpose was to get Lot out of the house, to rescue him, because God was going to bring punishment down upon the town. Notice the angels didn't go into town and start evangelizing and say, you need to stop your homosexuality and believe in Jesus. They knew this town was a lost cause. Yeah, because these people had in their souls, they had become so scarred over. It was like we call scar tissue in the soul, and their volition had become locked. We say locked in negative volition. Because their sin was so great, they'd just been doing it so habitually, they weren't going to change. And just to show how strong their homosexual lust was, these angels, they probably look pretty good looking guys, I guess, I don't know. But when they're in the house, they were beating on the door, trying to get in, to force themselves into the house so they could have sex with these two men who were actually angels. Because they saw the men go in, they were saying to Lot, this is in verse 5, they said, you know, bring them out to us so we can have sex with them. So here they said, this is verse 5, you know, bring the men out. So it says we can know them, but that, and, you know, that really means we can have sex with them. That we say know in the biblical way. Okay, and Lot went out of the door. He actually shut the door. So he shut the door behind him, and he said, do not act evilly. See, we've got the word evil here. Ra'ah. Then in verse 8, now this is, Lot is also very evil. Lot's saying, well, I've got two virgin daughters here. You can have sex with them instead. I mean, what sort of father is this, right? I mean, he's just as bad as the homosexuals. But he's a believer, so he's going to be saved. Okay, now we do know from Scripture Lot was a believer. But it just goes to show, you know, even believers can be pretty bad. You know, here he is. Have my daughters. Don't have sex with these men. Have sex with my daughters. The men don't want that. They don't want the, they could be beautiful daughters for all we know, but they don't want the woman. They want the men. And then in verse 9, they said, stand back. They're going to come into the house. And they came near to breaking down the door. So you can see that at the end of this verse 9. Mm-hmm. Well, here it's saying, and this is just the English. I'm not giving the details from the Hebrew, but we will deal worse with you than with them.
So what does that mean?
Well, if you don't let us into them, we're gonna have sex with you instead.
Oh, really?
They're threatening Lot. Okay, but in verse 10, now the angels, they get their hands out and that they pull Lot back into the house. Okay, and then in verse 11, they use their superpowers to blind these people that are trying to get in the house. But even though they're blind, they're still trying to get in the house. In English it says they wearied themselves to try to find the door. It's like, where's that door? You know, they've just been blinded, right? And they're still trying to get in. This is how sick
horror movie.
That's how sick these people are. Now, in this way, we see that they're very different from the fallen angels. The fallen angels, when they commit their sins, sleeping with a woman, you know, they do it very tactfully. So, you know, they think about their strategy. How are we going to, you know, to get with the woman and make them have the Nephilim babies? But these people, these people are just following their sin nature. But Satan is encouraging this kind of behavior. And whether we're talking about the fallen angels or the homosexuals in Genesis 19 we just saw, they are disobeying God's plan and they're going to be punished. Okay, and just one last interesting point. So I'll bring you back now to Jude chapter 1, 6 and 7 to finish off tonight. Now, if you look at Jude 1, 7, we see here, first Jude, remember he's talking about the fallen angels, how they left their place. They're not in their proper positions. And they were punished. They were put into Tartarus. And then and straight in the next verse, it's actually in the same sentence, really. He talks about just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them. Okay, and it says here, like committing fornication. So that's just having sex with whoever they want. And going away after other flesh. Okay, now let's see what the Chinese says. The word there is heteros, which means strange. It's like strange flesh. If you look at what's come up here, see, it's some other or something else, or you even have the word strange right there, right? Strange flesh. They're going after strange flesh. And it's interesting here because Jude says strange flesh. And one way you can say he's talking about homosexuals having sex with themselves. That's strange. This is forbidden by God. But these homosexuals in Genesis chapter 19, when they were breaking down Lot's door, they wanted sex with these men. They weren't men, they were angels. They were not knocking, they were breaking. So in Jude chapter 1, 6, you know, we have these angels trying to have sex with the woman. But in Jude 1, 8, you have the men trying to have sex with the angels. Okay, but both were destructive to God's plan and both were punished severely. God has to punish evil in order that his plan can continue through human history. Okay, but through God's word, see, we know what's right and wrong. We can stay on the right side of history. Okay, let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we give thanks to you for your word, that your word does tell us about the right and the wrong things that are happening in the world. And we pray that you can teach us the applications that are to be made in our own lives. And that as we learn to know what is right, that we have the humility to apply this also to our life. We give thanks for your provision and protection in all things. And so we give thanks in Christ's name. Amen.